I would always prefer the Lord use someone else, and I would have much preferred. Well, we love the Lord this morning. And I love my fellows in the gospel also. I love the saints. This is the land of my nativity. I know a lot of David said he was born in sin. I'll tell you that's kind of how what happened to all of us, but the Lord translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. Now this is a land here where I was born here too. And thank the Lord for that. I was listening to that song this morning, and I really appreciate that special song. I appreciate all the songs that we have. We have wonderful songs that the Lord has given us. One time when my brother, he was burned very badly, that's when this song came into my learning, my understanding. Don't think I remember the song before that time. But he was burned very badly, I believe, here on his right arm and up on his neck, down around on his back. It burned so badly that when I took a water hose that was right there close and sprayed it, some skin just fell off of his arm. He was burned very badly. And he was being cared for there at home. And it didn't look good. And I remember how when they would try to clean that arm, it was painful. And he would always ask before they started to do that to, let's have prayer. And he testified that he could tell that when his endurance would run out and the Lord's would come in. That song says, when we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, when the day is just half done. And I know sometimes when we're in the thick of the battle that we feel like that the day's half done and I don't have what it takes to go the rest of it. For one thing, you don't know how far it's going to go. But it is safe to put our hand in our Father's hand and to go ahead and go through it with Him. Because I believe my brother's testimony, not his. I've heard others have the same thing. Where they went through it and it looks like they couldn't go a step farther, but the Lord came on the scene. And I believe that song's true. And the fact is, life will bring all of us from time to time to places in our life that it feels like I can't go any farther. But when you feel that way, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And I believe he is able, not only is he able, he is well able to take us safely to the end with victory. And I think of that situation right now with Sister Karen LaCroix. It seems like a desperate situation that we're in. Let's pray the Lord will come and really deliver her from this. Give her a real personal visit today. We're grateful for the testimony that she has been able to give. Let's ask the Lord to give her real deliverance in this. Well, we'd like to look over into the book of Hebrews this morning, the 12th chapter. Think about this being the beginning of the meeting here at Monarch. I grew up going to this series of services, Monarch meeting. From little up, I don't remember a time that I've missed a whole Monarch. I've missed services, but I don't remember a time that I have missed it since I was very young. I was born in 61. And I don't remember all those times, but as far back as I can remember, we've always been able to come here through. And it's a special place to me. It's where I was saved, right over there. Lord really changed my life. And I'm very grateful for that. And I want you to be able to come here and build Wonderful memories. Don't know how long time will go, but as long as the Lord gives us life and time, we are to build memories and have some of these sweet times we experience here at Monarch. I want to encourage you, this Monarch, to come here with an expectation in your heart, with a desire to meet God here. It's good to see the saints, and I'm like every one of you. I enjoy seeing your face. I enjoy having conversation, but that's not all the Monarch is about. Monarch is in particular about us having an experience, a personal experience with the Lord. Let me use a different term. A personal contact with the Lord. Where He comes down and He deals with our soul. And you might say you've been saved for a long time, and thank the Lord if you have. But we still want the touch of God on our life. Amen. We want Him grooming us. We want Him changing and molding us and shaping and getting us in the place that His glory can without hesitation Amen. Come down in our midst. Yes. And that begins in the lives of individuals. We can pray and come here and hope that the Lord comes down and meet us. But if our hearts aren't open to that, folks, if we're not seeking His face, I don't care how much we might say with our mouth we want Him to be here, it will hinder what He can do in our midst. Amen. And I would encourage us while we're here, while we enjoy each other's presence, of course, but let's really seek to have the presence of God during this series of services. And I believe the Lord would be pleased to come and be in our midst and anoint the messages and anoint the songs. I want to encourage us to look for His anointing on the songs. Don't just call a song because you think it's a pretty song, though I enjoy all these songs. But ask the Lord for the anointing on the songs. Ask the Lord for the anointing on our special songs. We don't feel like it's proper for somebody to get up here and try to sing a song if you're not right with the Lord. It's a ministry. It's part of the ministry. And I believe that we ought to be in a place that the Lord can anoint for what's going on. So I would encourage us, don't just want to get up and sing because you found a beautiful song and you like to sing. But look for the anointing in it. Amen. Ask the Lord to inspire. We want the Lord to be glorified during this Monarch time. I want to encourage us that way. Well, let's look over here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. First verse says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed." And that word "also" kind of stuck out to me recently. We like to think about all the wonderful people who have went on in the past. We can think of Moses. We can think of Enoch. We can think of those who are faithful, Paul and Silas. We can think of the apostles who are faithful. We can think of those who went through some difficult times. And a cloud of witnesses that they left behind. It's wonderful. Amen. But it's just not unique to 2,000 years ago. Amen. We also, today, tell me what Sister Karen, tell me that's not a witness today. I've been praying for some time. I pray for her healing. But what I was really impressed about a year ago to pray for, that the Lord would anoint her message. And I believe He's doing that. Her message is rich. What the testimony. I'm not saying this just glorifies someone. But we are encompassed about with a host of witnesses. We also. Today. You and I, if we look around, we can find people that are alive and being faithful today. We can have wonderful memories, and I do, and I lift up people. I recognize what the Lord has done in lives of people who have gained the victories and gained their crown. And I appreciate the memories of those. Oh, Brother Leslie has had a lot of old tapes that he passed on to me one time, a tape of Brother Dryas Gibson, and I don't remember him. I think I could have, maybe a time, I'm not sure, but he died when I was very young. But in that message, oh, it rung true in my heart. And Brother Leslie, we have some of these memories of people who have been faithful and true to our souls. We've seen saints. Oh, I remember, you remember Brother David, Brother and Sister Davenport that used to come here every Monarch, California. Spent the time traveling coming here. Sweet, faithful saints. Today, also, we have a host of witnesses. Wonderful memories. Remember Sister Olive just a few years ago? She had glasses that were very thick. Couldn't see very well. Is there a Kleenex somewhere? I'm sorry. You may not have those out yet. No see any. That's all right. But anyway, we've had Brother, Sister Davenport, Sister Olive. Sister Olive was here a few years ago for the last time. And I saw her stand up over there. She had had something happen to her. I don't know whether it's stroke or what, but she got to where she couldn't speak very clearly. But she got up there and she started sharing her heart again. And I couldn't understand everything she was saying. But my heart knew she was encouraging us. She was calling us to be near to the Lord. And I said to myself, and some that were around near to me, I said, listen, well, this will probably be the last time you'll hear. She's gone now. She's got her crown. But she blazed a good path. And I want us to be faithful here today. We have those that are coming on. We have people who have never seen this, that have probably come to Monarch, and they need something more than religion. And I'll tell you today, I need something more than religion, and so do you. We need something that comes up real and true from the bottom of our heart. That's effective in our lives. That when we go back home from Monarch, we still live right. That's what we need. And I'm not opposed to it. Oh, I like that song too. When the sweet songs of Zion are floating above and the saints all rejoice in the Lord. I'm right there with you. I love it. But it's more than emotion. It's more than emotion. It's something that's got to be down deep inside. This is what I want. This is where I'm going. Now, we have people who have lived this way before us. We still, also, you and I today are encompassed. Are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Then it says, let us lay aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now, sometimes we think about the path that others have taken, and I'll say it again, I believe that they have blazed a good trail. They've shown how to go through it well, with victory in their soul. We have people today still living that you and I can look on and take courage by the things they're going through and the victories that they're gaining. Let us now lay aside. Amen. Every weight, those things that would drag us down. What are those weights? Now, I'm not here to identify every weight that you'll find in your life. But I believe if you're sensitive to the touch, to the voice of the Lord, to His Holy Spirit, you will begin to realize the places that would drag you down. Let me tell you a good place to begin to look. Anything that would glorify the flesh is a weight that will slow you down. And as the Lord begins to reveal some of these places in your life, allow Him to purify the sons of Levi. Allow Him to... That's a scripture. The sons of Levi are you, the saints. He wants to take you and I and purge and purify and lay aside those things that would drag us down. Those things that would cause us not to be so free in the Lord or so confident in His ways. God wants to build good confidence in our life. He doesn't want us to be timid in this way. He wants us to recognize the good way. Grasp it. Oh, what about David? Do you think he was timid when he went out to face Goliath? I don't think he was. He ran toward him, didn't he? David, you're running toward your death. A lot of people felt that way. Oh, he was running toward his victory. Folks, let's grasp this thing because we know it's right.
Yes.
And it means something down deep in my soul. I won't let it go. And the weights, those things that would war against the flesh, those things that would cause you and I to drift over into carelessness, the old flesh life, look well in that area because those are weights that would drag you down. And the writer here of Hebrews says, lay aside those weights, those things that so easily beset us, those things that would appeal so softly to the flesh and so appealing to you and I. May God help us to do whatever it takes to not only get the victory, but to keep it.
Yes, amen.
Let's skip on down here now to the third verse. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Have you ever had opposition? And how does it feel? You always feel, you feel just joyous after that experience when somebody comes along and accuses you. Contradiction. Sometimes we can come away from a situation like that and say, oh, that's just no sinner, man. These were sinners. He endured contradiction of sinners. How did He act? Now listen, think about this contradiction sometimes of sinners. I thought of how there were two ways as He lived through His, worked through His earthly ministry here. There were people that accused Him of being fanatical. What do you think they said when He said, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood? That's too hard. You're too hard. Well, why? That doesn't... Folks, it's going to mean something when we hear the voice of the Lord and understand what He's meaning. Folks, there was a meaning to what He was saying there. He wasn't meaning that they had to take part of His armor and start eating on it. No, He said, it's my words, the things I'm wanting to share with you. Eat of what I'm sharing with you.
Yes.
And I want to tell you here during this series of meetings, there's going to be some things that may be spoken to your soul through the Holy Spirit Himself that may seem like a hard saying to you. I want to encourage you today that if that time comes during this meeting, to be willing to eat, to not back up on it, but to eat of His flesh and drink of His blood, because within it there's life.
Amen.
And there's something special I think the Lord wants for us. And you know, we can fail to get it with a little stubborn, picky appetite. God help us to eat what He gives us and receive it down inside our soul. They also accused Him of being... Remember, he said, you're a friend. They said, you're a friend of sinners. It's loose now. Yeah, compromiser. If you're not a fanatic, you're a compromiser. They accuse such contradiction of sinners, you see. He was dealing with this while he was here. Don't you know, as you're going through life, you're going to also meet with some contradiction? You're going to have to meet with some opposition? The Lord wants to help you and I both to go through it with grace. In such a way that our life by itself will speak so loudly that people will have a hard time proving their contradiction.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? What I'm really saying is that God wants us to live such a life before those that we're around that even if they have accusation they want to make, it'll be awfully hard for that accusation to take root because your life has proved something different. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. And we can do that by His grace. By hearing His voice. By laying aside the weights that would so easily beset us. And run with patience the race that is set before us. And there's going to be some times that you and I are both going to have to exercise some patience. Don't feel like that is unique to running the Christian race. If you think that, well, the Lord wants His people to be so patient, we have to endure so much. I want you to compare the life of a Christian to those who are servants to the prince of the power of this world. And see, when you look at it, which one's best? Because I want to tell you what, He requires an awful lot of His. The devil does. He requires foolishness. He requires them acting in such a way publicly that would be embarrassing. I know that. He did that to me when I was his subject. But I've been translated into another kingdom. And I'm glad to be there. And there have been times that I felt like, you know, in our human, there are times that the running of this race, you know, sometimes you got to catch another wind. You feel a little dry. Have you ever felt that way in your experience? You feel a little dry. And perhaps this monarch has caught some of us feeling a little dry. That's all right. It's better if he's on fire. But the Lord wants to put you on fire. And if you're dry today, I want to encourage us to seek the Lord to live in our soul. Revive and encourage us and teach us and inspire us. Reinvigorate us during this meeting. You know, there's one thing that happens whenever you have... My mother, when she had a birthday, and there's quite a few candles we had on her cake. I won't tell you how many, but there was quite a number. And we thought we were going to light those candles. We did. Some of them began to spontaneously light after a while. One candle will burn by itself. You put another next to it, and another one, and then pretty soon the heat and the draft, and we had flames coming out the top of that cake. Do you know that's what the Lord wants to do here at Monarch?
Yes.
He wants to light your candle. And when we all come together with the Spirit of the Lord burning within our heart, He'd like to turn Monarch into a bonfire.
Amen.
When the person who has never experienced the presence of the Lord would come here and then they would look and see what's going on. They're not seeing false fire. I'm not interested in false fire.
Amen.
Not at all. But when they see the Lord Himself working and people being on the fire from heaven, there's a true ring to that. There's something real.
Amen.
And then they see the bonfire of saints. And then sometimes there's people who are wobbly in their experience and they come close to the fire. Sometimes they spontaneously ignite.
Amen.
And those who maybe decided they didn't want anything to do with this, but then they see something real and they have conviction fall on them. And after a while, they start trembling inside and You find them running to the altars and then getting up afterwards and saying, I'm glad to be saved. Don't you want to see that? I want to tell you, I do. I believe you do too. Can it happen in 2013? Yes, it can. Let's seek for the Lord individually in our lives and the burning of His Spirit within our soul. And let's move up at His touch. Run with patience this race that is set before us. So let's not draw back into any kind of perdition, but let's move forward in the grace of God, seeking for that place, the dwelling of the Lord, not only in other people's lives, but in our own hearts. For consider him that endured such contradiction. Remember the rich young ruler? What was it? You know how he characterized the counsel of the Lord? He turned away sadly and walked away. And there may be some, this monarch will come right up, that close. And oh, it's a sad thing to watch him walk away. He walked away sadly. But he said, it's too much. But did you know what Jesus told the rich young ruler before he walked away? Yes, he told him, go out and sell all that you have. You say, it's too, we can, and are human. We think that's too much. You're asking too much of me, Lord. But that's not all he told him. He said, if you do that, come and follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. And I will submit to you today that that treasure laid up in heaven is where moth and rust cannot corrupt. Amen. Thieves will not break through and steal. It is secure. And if we bank in heavenly bank, in heaven, if we put our values up there, I want to tell you that's a good, safe place to bank. Because when you lay this body down, you're going to need to have something. And today's a good time to start laying up treasure over there. Amen. Don't say in your heart, when the word of the Lord comes to you during this meeting or throughout your life, whenever the Lord comes to you and challenges you or points out a place that He would like to help you to change in your life, don't draw back and say it's too much. Because I want to tell you, you're going to go away sad. And you're going to go away empty. And you're going to miss treasure. Let's not allow that to happen. All right, let's go on. For consider him in our life, as we're going through life, when we deal with the difficulties of life. Sometimes before you feel like that I'm being asked more difficult things than anybody else has been asked. It's hard for me, and I just, you know, the devil will pile on about that time. He'll try to make it look worse than what it has ever been. Yes. Be careful. Don't listen to him. Amen. But when you start feeling like that, the counsel here is to look back to the one. For consider him that endured such contradiction. He went through it, and let me tell you what he did. Not only did he go through it, the Lord was able to empower his son so tremendously, so completely, that when he hung on the cross, when sinners had smote him, when people had falsely accused him, when he knew that what he was doing was the will of God and righteous altogether. When he knew all that and people were accusing him of being fanatical or compromised or making false claims about himself, when they accused him of all and then smote him and then whipped him and then nailed him to a cross, the Lord had so filled him with his grace that he was able to say from the cross, when he looked down on the people who had rejected him, what did he say? Father, forgive him. Oh, the power of the grace of God. Amen. Oh, the power of love above hate. Amen. And let us embrace both the grace of God and the love of God. Yes, in this life we live in today, Because the world we live in today would like to thrust its worldly influence into our heart. We'd like to thrust its hate and its lack of love into us. And I want to encourage us, don't allow that to encumber us. Don't allow that infection of the world to come near to us. Lay aside the weights that would so easily beset us. Run with patience that race. Run where the Lord leads us in His grace and in His might. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. It's easy to get that way. Sometimes you start feeling like I'm tired. And believe me, I have had those times more than once where I came to the point it looked like everything was going in reverse. And you come to the end of the day and you feel tired and you feel discouraged. You can feel discouraged. It don't mean quit. You can feel like, oh, this is not going well. I wish it was going differently. But it says here, consider Him that endures this contradiction, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Look, when you feel like that, look back unto the Lord. Seek His face. Seek His inspiration. I believe the Lord has abundant grace for this, for us in this generation. It wasn't all expended at Calvary. That song that was sung a while ago, a special song. What is that chorus? His grace has no boundary known unto man. And I believe it to be so. Thank the Lord. All right. Maybe we'll skip on down here. Sixth verse talks about chastisement of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges. I will admit to you that I don't think chastisement feels good. But I will also add this to what I just said. I have been corrected by the Lord so thoroughly that I knew without shadow of a doubt right where the wrong was and what it did. And was so thoroughly corrected that it could have been crushing. But the unique ability of our Heavenly Father is like this in His correcting. Is that not only does He know how to thoroughly convince us of where our wrong is, but He also thoroughly convinces us that His love is there to uphold us. Amen. I have been thoroughly encouraged at the same time I was thoroughly reprimanded. I do not know how to do that as a parent. But my Heavenly Father does it well. So I want to encourage you, when you go through your chastisement, don't rebel at it. But if we embrace it and say, amen, Lord, that mirror You're holding up before me and what I'm seeing and the ugly picture that I'm seeing, that is me. If you do that, you will also find His grace is sufficient. Amen. You will not feel crushed, but you'll feel encouraged. He says, whispers in our ear. At the same time He tells us where we went wrong, He whispers in our ear, come, my child, let me hold you. Let me hold your hand as we walk along. And I'll walk beside you. And I'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Amen. He has not ever abandoned one of His children. And He will not abandon you. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as children, as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? We all, us that have children, it's a fact. You have to correct. You have to have some chastening with your children. That's just the way. And our Heavenly Father does it too, but He does it so much better than what we do. Eighth verse. But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all, whereof all are partakers, then you're not one of His children. He wants to prove today to us, and He does it so kindly, embrace it. He wants to prove to us today that we are His children. So during the series of meetings, look for His corrective an encouraging hand in your life, because He wants to glorify His image in you. Amen. He wants His bride to be beautiful. And you know what He does? He goes out and He buys jewels to put on her. He's already purchased them. And He has gifts that He wants to give unto His children. And He wants to glorify the meek with salvation. He wants to take you in your life, and He wants to shape and mold and adorn you with the characteristics of God Himself.
Amen.
You know, when a couple first get married, have you ever noticed that as people progress together as a couple, that sometimes as life, 50 years or so passes, have you ever noticed how they start looking kind of alike?
Yes.
I've seen some of that. Maybe they didn't start out looking nearly. Woman's always prettier than the man anyway. But then as they go on, they start. And the Lord puts His glory on that home. Do you know when we are married to Christ, the Lord wants to adorn His bride. It's you and I.
Amen.
Until as we pass through time and walk the path with Him, we start looking like Him. His glory begins to shine more and more and more as we go through life. Thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Chastisement. When He does that, it's because we're His children. Now let's skip on down here to the 11th chapter. Our 11th verse. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. It's grievous. It's not pleasant, the beginning. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those who are exercised by it. In other words, embrace His correction. Embrace His hand and His touch. And it'll be a blessing to you. No chastening at the moment. And right at the beginning, be careful, because the devil will try to come in there and try to have you have hurt feelings. Be careful. Warning. Red light. Be careful. Don't give over to... You don't have to take hurt feelings. Don't have to put them in your pocket and walk away. Because if you do, you're going to be like that rich young ruler who missed the blessing. He walked away with hurt feelings, sad. But he left treasure in heaven. And he left the greatest invitation man could ever have had. Sell all and come and follow me. And the Lord invites us to follow Him too. Wherefore, if we begin to feel weak, or we begin to feel like somebody's, you know, sometimes we get caught up on somebody else hurt my feelings. And I know that happens. But again, I tell you, I want to encourage you, don't take the hurt feelings home with you. Don't have to. I know that's a little hard sometimes for us to receive. And I'm telling you this because I also have been there where I went away, put the hurt feelings in my pocket, walked away. But as long as I carried the hurt feelings, I was chained. And I was carrying a ball. And the Lord would want His children to be free. And when I came to the point that I gave it all back to Him, He took the old chisel and anvil and He broke the chain.
Praise the Lord.
And the Lord wants that for His children.
Amen.
Now, Wherefore, he said, the next verse says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Next time you feel hurt or you feel stymied or you feel drugged down and you're, don't stay there. Lift up the hands that hang down, the feeble knees. Look unto Jesus. That's a verse I skipped, but I want to go back to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto Him. Turn your eyes back. A lot of times we can get so focused on the immediate problems or things that seem to whirl in our mind. And as long as what we're focused on that, it is captivating to us. The Lord will allow us to be captivated by heavenly thinking. Whatsoever things are good, noble. Remember that? Fourth chapter of Philippians, I believe. Down there, what, at 13th, somewhere. Y'all, whatsoever things are. Remember that verse? Whole catalog of things. Think on these things. And it'll help your mind. It will help to establish you. When we begin to give our mind to those weights that so easily drag us down, those things that appeal to the old flesh, you will find you are bound and you'll find that you cannot run free. But the Lord would want us to learn to run free.
Amen.
The verse over there, the chapter 23rd Psalm, it didn't say in there that He leads me beside prison walls where I'm barely dragging the chain. He said, He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And that's what He wants. During this meeting, if you find yourself, you start to recognize it, I've been dragging something I shouldn't have been dragging. And I want to go free. He's still in the freedom-loving business and the freedom-giving business. And He takes people, even His children who are saved, and He chastens, and He sets them free. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Well, this can go different ways. In your own walk. Do you know, if you are careful and sensitive to the voice of the Lord, and you allow the Lord, you follow in those impulses, those little impulses that He gives you. You know, the weak places in your life will be strengthened. Those places, it talked about the sin that does so easily beset us. We talk about besetting sins. Talk of those places where people, where we are weak. Where the devil knows your weaknesses. You know what I'm talking about. Those places where you are vulnerable in. You know, the Lord wants to strengthen that part. He wants the wobbly knee to be strengthened.
Amen.
He wants those places that said that the weak be turned not out of the way. I can't even see that right now. The straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lame be turned out of the way. The Lord wants to make the lame foot to be like hinds feet.
Amen.
He wants to heal those lame places, those weak places, and strengthen that. Then on another way, to take this scripture. We have had people who have lived before us a very exemplary life.
Yes.
They have lived faithful and true. And as I have watched them and watched their struggles and watched them go through the hard places, and they, folks, live in this way. If you're victorious, doesn't mean you don't go through hard places. Victorious means you get the victory when you go through it. And I have watched Brother White, watched him get the victory when he went through it. I've watched Brother Clifford Wilson. I can name a bunch of people right now. But you remember in your mind, see those who have went through some difficult places in their life and they came through with victory.
Amen.
And every time I look at them, you know what it does to me? When I come up to a little crippled place in my life, I start feeling like, I don't know, I'm weak here. I look over at Him. And I find courage. And know that the Lord took them through too. And He's able. So then, It's our lot. It's our turn today to make straight paths for our feet.
Amen.
That those who are watching your life will not have need to stumble.
Amen.
But on the contrary, that the Lord could point to you and say, "Have you considered my faithful servant?"
Yes.
And that person would look at you and say, "That brother or that sister did it. I believe I can too." Or maybe they might be in such a quandary in their mind that the Lord can point to you and say, "Go talk to brother or sister so-and-so." We've had some mothers in Zion. We've had some fathers in Zion that you could go to them and they could give you good counsel. Not just human counsel, it was God-inspired counsel. So make straight paths for your feet today, that the Lord would be able to bring you into a place of stability, of an example, that you can be in that place that the Lord can point out somebody else maybe that's wobbling, lame, needing some help. The Lord can say, "See that one?" And the Lord can use you. So I want to encourage us today to be faithful in all those areas of life. Don't want the lame to be turned out of the way, but rather they be healed. Follow peace with all men. Such a simple little thing. You know, the world has almost done violence to this word peace. They have a little symbol anymore that it's a circle with a you've seen that. You know what? An upside down kind of cross with a broke. And they say it's a peace symbol. And every time I see that, I cringe. I say, "You don't even know what peace is." They think peace is all kinds of twisted things. But no, peace is something different. It's actually something God Himself abiding down within us, calming the waters, directing our steps, giving us confidence when we hear that voice behind us saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." I want to tell you, when you're in a quandary in your life, you're not knowing what to do, and you hear the voice, you know what peace is that moment. Because you heard the voice of the Father saying, "It's it, son. This is right." And then at that moment, if the whole world said something different, you knew what was right. And the Lord can give you such a calmness in the midst of the storm of everybody else doing something, clamoring for something different. You know, you've got peace. That's a peace.
Amen.
It's not this other man-made. And I'm all for trying to get along. Don't get me wrong about that. But the true being able to get along is when we are at peace with God. That's where it blooms from. When the heart is corrupt, the tree is going to produce something that's corrupt. You'll never create peace as long as we have the moral condition in the world we have. Can't do it.
Amen.
The answer. Now this is a pretty broad statement. I hardly ever use the word all. I suppose you can find maybe an exception perhaps. But the answer to all the world's problems is a lack of God in people's lives. I think I'm still going to stick with that statement. The answer to all of this world's problems is a lack. Or is the answer is getting more of God in our life. The problem is the lack of God being in people's lives.
Amen.
Follow peace with all men. And holiness, sometimes this is a word we want to shrink back from because it has people's mind such a connotation that you claim to be holy, that you heard the term holier than thou. And that always is a negative connotation. Nobody wants to be holier than thou. And I understand what they're talking about. God doesn't want us to be arrogant.
No.
His children aren't that.
Amen.
But there is a place of knowing down deep in my heart that I'm pleasing my Father. And when you are doing that, did you know what you are? You're holy.
Yes.
You're holy.
Yes.
We don't need to overdefine it. It is walking in a place that I'm pleasing my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
That's holiness. And God wants you and I to do that. Without it, we won't be able to see Him. But with Him, our eyes are opened. And we perceive Him in a greater fashion. And His richness is expanded in our hearts with that desire to walk holy and righteously before Him. Follow peace with all men. Didn't sound like there was any exception. There was there. God wants us to follow peace with all men.
Amen.
And holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness. First is still looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. His grace is abundant. And I believe when it's spoken of, it is without bound. We hear songs and people assert that His grace, you don't find its limit. You don't find where it ends. And I believe that with all my heart that is true. Then why do people fail? It's not because His grace wasn't there. It's because we chose to step out of His grace. We can also at the same time choose to avail ourselves of the grace. That is what the Lord wants us to do. When we walk in this life and we deal with the hard trials or the hard temptations of life, He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Said that to Brother Paul. And I don't think he only chose to say that to just one person in the world. That scripture, I believe, applies to everybody who wishes to avail themselves of God's grace. It is sufficient.
Yes. Thank the Lord.
Brother Paul then responded to that admonition from his Heavenly Father. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory then in my infirmity." And that's not an easy thing to say. When you are in the depths of infirmity, depths of trial, the depths of affliction, the depths of contradiction of sinners. Think of that now. When you are falsely accused, bring it down. When somebody says things against you that you know wasn't right, but they're spreading it, consider Him who endured it. Be filled with the same grace that came from His Heavenly Father. His grace is sufficient. Most gladly, therefore, then, Lord, help us all to be able to say this along with Brother Paul. I will embrace my affliction. I will embrace it, Lord, because I'm confident that within... We sang a song a while ago. Was it 211? Or what was that? God's way is best. 111. Number 111. God's way is best. God's way is best. Even if I, in my human thinking, would see a fairer way. The reason why it seems fairer to me today is only because I'm looking at it through human dimmed eyes. And those human eyes, they seem to see sometimes more clearly than even our spiritual eyes. Doesn't have to be. The Lord would like to sharpen our spiritual eyes. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress when Pilgrim was going through the valley of the shadow of death. I think that was, yes, that's what it was. And you remember the writer termed them as vaporous lions that came to him to roar, attacking, coming at him. They looked real. They looked like, and they roared the sound into our human eyes. They can look so real. This thing's about to get me. But the spiritual eyes begin to look farther and to grasp hold of faith. God wants to strengthen you and I today in the trials, the difficulties that might seem so real to you and I, seem so overwhelming to you and I today. Lord, we'd like to strengthen you and I to the point that we find His grace sufficient. Most gladly, therefore, oh Lord, help us be able to say that. Most gladly, therefore, will I embrace what you send my way. His way is best. Even if human wisdom might seem to see a fairer way, God's way is best. Now let's look at this root of bitterness springing up, trouble you. On one side of this, we must recognize the Lord would have us all to be the best of our ability, to be sensitive and caring about our fellow. But sometimes at the best of our attempt to be non-hurtful, how should I say, we don't want to hurt somebody, always trying to give them their space, the best of our attempt to do so. Sometimes there have been many times I've looked back and realized I hurt them. I didn't mean to. So the Lord wants us to try our best to avoid that situation. That's one side of this. Then the other side. Suppose I am the one that feels the attack. We have some choices now to make. I can't allow that to take root down in my soul. And in this incident, in this scripture, he said, a root of bitterness. You know what? The root of bitterness will reproduce. There's a law that God put in this His world. An oak tree produces oak wood and acorns. It's oak. You plant the seed that comes off that oak tree, it's not going to come up an orange or an apple. It will produce after its kind. If a root of bitterness is growing in my heart and I nurture it and allow it to go and it begins to bloom and have fruit, I want to tell you it will produce fruit after its kind. It'll produce bitterness. Not only for yourself, and I want to tell you, it will produce fruit for its owner. If you own the tree of bitterness in your heart, if this root has begun to grow within your heart, be assured it will produce fruit. I want to tell you, recognize it's not a fruit that you want to have. There are some things we want, some trees you don't want growing. And the root of bitterness as it begins to grow. And we can have all the excuses. They hurt me. Or that thing, they intended for that to be that way. So, I don't mean to be insensitive. But the fact is, we've got to, let me say it differently. Perhaps so. Perhaps they did mean to do so. But to carry that pain within your heart and to nurture the bitterness that would be set up there will never do you good. Amen. Oh God, help us in this as our lives are thrust together. And thank God that they are. Oh, I forget which brother it was. Maybe his brother, maybe Brother Barton, I'm not sure. I think Brother Barton used to be a bricklayer. Block layer. Talked about the love of God. He said it's like that mortar between those blocks. The love of God will hold us together. But also hold us just far enough apart. It's true. We all, God, He knows we're human. He knows we need a certain amount of space as individuals. And He gave us that space. The love of God dictates that it still be there. And sometimes we start feeling like that space gets encroached upon. I want to tell you, we don't have to take bitterness away. Amen. God help us to give each other the space through the love of God, the nurturing of His very presence in our life, that it will develop us to the point that we can go through this way in a godly manner. Godly manner begs definition. In a way that is glorifying to the Lord and blessing, a blessing to our fellow man. I guess I don't need to define that to you. I think the Lord can define that to you. But may we go through this life in a way that is glorifying to the Lord. Lest a root of bitterness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up. Trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's one of the great dangers that we have, and the devil will try to exploit it, especially when we come together as people. The devil will do all he can to exploit it, even if maybe we long to have some time talking with. Come here to Monarch with the expectation. I'm going to see brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And I want to have some time with them. And then somehow you have a little moment of time and you go over there and they say, hi, how you doing? I got to run. And then I go. And, well, I'll catch him maybe. Lunch line. But I go to step up behind him in the lunch line and turn over talking to somebody else and never even notice you. So, again, we don't have to feel. You know, the devil would like to needle every little thing. And he'll exploit everything that we give him. So let's choose not to give him that. That the root of bitterness will not have a place to put down its root. There will be no place. You know, we want to have a soft and a tender heart, but this is one place we can have a stony place. When the root of bitterness comes along, let's clam up. Yeah. Let's have a hard place. Let's don't have any home for bitterness. Amen. Because if we do, many will be defiled. It has that effect. Yes. It will reproduce bitterness. Again, we don't have to let that happen. But the counsel is, let's be careful that it doesn't. This is just life counsel, folks, the way we live our lives. Now, I want to skip down here, talking about the place that we have come to. And I want to just pick this verse out. We're almost through. Talked about there was a time when the Lord came to visit with His people. Remember on Mount Sinai? You remember that experience about the mountain shook. Flame. It was a tremendous thing. Fear and trembling. And if a beast even came up near unto the mountain, touched the mountain, it had to be killed. And there were special boundaries. It was a fearful thing. But Brother Paul said here, or the writer here of Hebrews, that's not what we've come to. Monarch's not that way. God is not that way today. He has. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, He's been brought nigh. We've been brought nigh unto Him. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Sometimes we talk about these angels we're talking about. A lot of times this is referring to ministers, people who administer the gospel. Did you know? Don't think this monarch, that only those that stand behind the pulpit call themselves ministers, that's not just men, that's not just the angels. We're coming to Mount Zion where there's an innumerable company of angels. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about you. Talking about you. You preach with your life. And when you go from Monarch and go back home, you're going to preach a message. And you're going to preach a message if you are full of bitterness, you're going to preach that message. If you're full of the love of God, you're going to preach that message. Amen. If you have a heart turned toward the Lord and you want to follow Him, your life will preach that message. Right. Or if you have a heart that you're looking over there and enticed by the worldly enticements, you're going to preach that message. Let's go back now to the second verse of this chapter. The messages that you preach is an innumerable company of angels. This life, way of living our life. And the difficulties sometimes that we go through, the times that we need the correction, the chastisement of the Lord on our life, the times we need to hear His voice saying, this is the way walking in it, the times that we need His touch, whether it be by through correction or through encouragement, the times that I feel like that I don't know if I can go forward anymore. The times when I have decisions that I've got to make and not knowing what to do. Here's an answer. Looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, it's good for us to be able to take counsel with each other. And I'm not discouraging that. Except there's times and points in our life. There's really nobody can answer that for us but Jesus. And I want to tell you, He's not hiding off in a corner. He's not trying to avoid your hungry eyes. I want to tell you today, if you'll turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I want to encourage us today, as you're passing through life, ask Him to anoint your message unto holiness and righteousness, to godliness. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what I want to leave you with today. This isn't any big revelation, this message. I don't have any new revelation to give you today, except a good old gospel story. The Lord would like to take people just like you and I, help us to be victorious in this life. Prescribe a glorious, holy way to walk in and give us grace to do it. And as we go through it and we deal with the complexities of life, discouragement and sometimes even the opportunities to feel hurt, the Lord wants to bring us through in a godly fashion, looking unto Jesus who went through it right. And we are encompassed throughout the history, and even today, we also are encompassed with a great cloud of witnesses. And the greatest of those is the one that hung on Calvary for your soul. It's the greatest one. Everybody else is measured by that one. And He Himself has a great desire to take every one of us, fill us with His grace and fill us with His glory, and take us safely to our heavenly home.
Amen.
Pray for me. I want to make it there.